words which I which I trust the Lord will enable me to make a few remarks will be found in the Song of Solomon, a chapter 2 and the 10th verse. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. There is a religion which consists between God and the believer. Those who are brought feelingly in need and who are taught by the Holy Spirit that there is one able to supply their need. And so it was in the days when the Lord Jesus was upon the earth that there was that one who was sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. My beloved spake and said unto me. And so as we go through this chapter, we shall find how their beloved spoke to them. They had all various cases, all various concerns, but they knew so little of their beloved until he spake. And he may not speak in the words that we may expect, and how the Pharisees took him up on this, how he spoke to this one and said, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus, realizing that sin was the root cause of all maladies, and whatever our case, whatever our condition may be tonight, sin is the root cause of it. And what is easier to say, as the Lord Jesus said, is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. How that one was able to come away from his very doubts as the Lord came, and as he heard of him, and as there were those that brought him, you see, they came, they brought him. Sometimes as we are able to bring others to the Lord, there is that doubt. We wonder whether the Lord has heard our prayers. Maybe one here tonight who is heavily burdened with regard to another, and you brought that one to the Lord secretly. That one who is suffering from some disease or brought into some trial, and the Lord has laid that one upon your mind. It may be one in your own family, one in the church, one in a distant land. It matters not. But how the Lord at times brings these things into the experiences of his people, and how they are able to carry them to the Lord. And then how this one, you see, he rose from his bed and he walked. And how one is able to do these things. It may be your prayer. The Lord has put a prayer within your heart. Teach me to walk in thy commands. 'Tis a delightful road, nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God, my beloved, spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Ah, but you see, this word only applies to fair ones. It doesn't apply to black ones. Oh, but indeed it does. If we read in the previous chapter, we read of that black one. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. But not only is there that fairness, but there is that blackness as well. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar. Well, how can that one be black and comely? Why, through the merits of the Lord Jesus. We're all black by nature, black as the tents of Kedar. But what a mercy when the Lord speaks to us and we feel that fairness. And so my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. We read of that woman of Samaria at the well, and how her beloved, yes, her beloved, went to her. She didn't know who he was. She had no idea that she loved him any more than she knew what would be the outcome of that meeting. To her it was just an ordinary man, but as he came to her, he must needs go through Samaria. Why? To speak to that woman. And as he spoke, so there was that faith given. Poor black woman, a trophy of grace, her beloved spake and said unto her, rise up, my love. To think that the Lord Jesus could love such a character, my love, my fair one, and come away. And immediately the woman, she came away and she left her water pots. We read in this chapter, the chapter in Matthew that we read of Matthew, how that as the Lord spoke to him, follow me, how he followed. And when the Lord does speak to his people, where there is that command, they come away. They come away eagerly to follow the Lord. And how good it is when we're able to come away from unbelief, to come away from dead formality, to come away from our own fallen nature, to come away from tradition, and to come back to simplicity, to hear Jesus speak and to speak to us. One said, hark my soul, it is the Lord, 'tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? My beloved spake. Has he ever spoken to you? Now, speaking is only a means of communication. It hasn't got to be the actual word. He has only to look. He has only to touch. And as the Lord looked upon Peter, there was Peter in that awful sin, denying the Lord. That Peter that loved the Lord. And as the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, Peter. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Just imagine any man speaking to one like Peter, who denied him, who had cursed and swore that he never knew him. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come out of that old nature of yours, that old fallen nature. Come away from the corruption of your heart. Come away from all your fears and the fear of men. Oh, no wonder he wept bitterly. And then, come away and listen, Peter. This is the fulfillment of the promise. Do you remember, Peter, how I told you that the cock, that thou wouldest deny me thrice before the cock crow? And so the Lord, my beloved, spake. Oh, and how the Lord speaks in such various ways. So different to the way in which one would expect. But what a mercy it is if the Lord has ever spoken to you. If the Lord has ever spoken to me. Because the Lord will never speak to you and I without us hearing his voice. There'll be an effect if the Lord speaks. As we say, speaking is only a means of communication, but the communication of God to the sinner will be such that there will be heed taken. And so the words which the Lord will speak, first of all, is with regard to the malady of sin. There'll be that conviction. They were pricked within their hearts. And you'll be pricked within your heart too, if you're taught of the Lord. And the Lord can speak and bring conviction to a soul in various ways. And I believe, as one said, daily we would repent of sin. So the sinner daily is convicted of sin. I don't think it would be wrong to say that the child of God scarcely passes a day but what he is convinced of sin, convinced of his own sin, and convicted of it. And therefore he needs that Lord to speak to him daily as he would repent, and as he needs that Lord to come. My beloved spake and said unto me. True religion this is, between your soul and the Lord. And have you seen a beauty in the gospel? Have you seen a beauty in this God? Is he truly your beloved? There is that which sometimes we can sing from our heart. Yes, he is my beloved. And my beloved is mine. He takes a poor vile sinner into his house of wine. I stand upon his merit. I seek no other stand, not e'en where glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land. My beloved. And so there will be something very attractive in the voice of the beloved. It will be a voice that you'll know. There can be no true love to a person if there is no attraction in the voice. Where there is real love, every faculty will be an attraction. And you see, the love of God is a perfect love. We may love a person, and yet there may be certain things which may cause us at times even to doubt their love. Or there may be certain things which we wish, that we can see in them that we wish they were different. And yet there is that love toward them. We may see various weaknesses, but not so with the love of God. There is a wonderful perfection in the love of God, which the child of God can see, and only the child of God can see, because it's only he that really loves him. The professor will speak of the love of God. He will speak much with regard to the scriptures and bring all those scriptures which speak of the love of God. But how seldom do we hear the professor speaking of his sin? And then perhaps there are those times when we hear of one who loves the Lord because the Lord has answered and spoken to them in providence. Well, it's good when the Lord speaks to us in providence, but we'll never save our souls. There are many who believe in faith healing, but it all centres around the body, not about the soul. As you read and hear much of in the day in which we live, of these faith healers, what concern have they with regard to the soul? They're more concerned with saving the corrupt, vile body. So my beloved spake and said unto me, now this is the amazing part about it, if even if he's your beloved, to speak unto you, rise up, lift thy downcast eyes and see. What a mercy it is when the Lord gives us that faith and that ability to rise up above carnal reasoning, to rise up above all our fears and our own reasoning. You know how it is when we're brought into some trial or some concern, immediately we begin to reason. But rise up above all this reason. That which is impossible with men is possible with God. Come away from it all. Leave the matter in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord will fulfill that which concerneth thee. How good it is when one is able to cast their burden upon the Lord, knowing that he careth for them. Have you got a burden here tonight? Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away from it. Come away from the burden, believing that this Almighty God is able and willing to deliver thee. Wonderful thing, isn't it, to have this Almighty God as your God? You say, well, now how do I know then that this God is my God? Why, by the drawing power, even if the very desire to be drawn. How in this Song of Solomon, and it is indeed a most blessed song, why? Because it's the song of wisdom. He says, draw me, we will run after thee. How that soul is taught by blessed experience, apart from the drawing power of God, he can do nothing. He needs the Lord to draw him. And when the Lord draws you by the cords of love, well then, he's your beloved, isn't he? Ever known him just for a few moments as your beloved? Ever felt, as it were, the very warmth of his person? It speaks here of the various characters of the church's beloved. It also speaks frequently with regard to the characters of the church of God. But there is a blessed unity. And how it goes on to say, my beloved is mine and I am his. You know, it's impossible for him to love you without you loving him. And we love him because he first loved us. And then there is another way. There's not time to enter into this text as we would desire, but there is another way of proving our love toward the Lord. And this again can be borne out by his own word. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We may not be able to say that we love the Lord as we would desire. We may not be able to feel that we know the Lord as we should know him, but there is that within our heart which loves the brethren. We love to hear them speak of their beloved. We love to hear them speak of the things which the Lord has done. And then there's the case of this poor woman with the issue of blood. It was her very life, you see. Without blood, there's no life. And without the shedding of blood, there's no spiritual life. And the very last blood was running from this woman. And she spent everything that she had. But all to no avail. Oh, how one who is taught of the Spirit can see so much here. We go to all the quacks. We try every other remedy. But last of all, we come to our beloved. And so this woman was able to come to her beloved. She knew faith was given. As the Lord Jesus said, it was her faith that made her whole. And so you see how she was able to press through all the difficulties. Have you known a little of this? As you've been brought into the difficulties which surround your case, and where you've been able to force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. My beloved spake and said unto me, this is communion, union with your God. Sometimes the Lord speaks to his people in such various ways, not always in a voice which they delight to hear. Sometimes it's a voice of warning, a voice of conviction, but it's all in love. We remember some years ago when the Lord spoke to us, and we know that he spoke by the very effect. And he spoke these words: he sees us often overcome and pities our distress and bids affliction drive us home to anchor on his grace. And there was with that very word a conviction, although at the present time, at that present moment, we felt to be completely fit and well, yet we were convinced that affliction would come. And within a matter of weeks it came. A long, painful affliction. But my beloved spake. And how the Lord speaks in these afflictions. How he shows us that this world is a wilderness. How the Lord speaks through bereavements and losses, and shows us the vanity and the emptiness of this life. How the Lord speaks to us through the shortcomings of his people. How he speaks to us through the failures and the shortcomings of his servants, so that we can see the emptiness and the vanity of men, even good men and the best men. And how that word which the Lord speaks by these various means, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away from it. Come away. And so there is that desire within your heart at times to be rid of all these things, that you might be rid even of these things which afflict the church. You see, the church of God is not perfect. It never will be perfect until the ransomed church of God are saved to sin no more. They're perfect, of course, in the eyes of God through the merits of the Lord Jesus. But all the while they're in this tenement of clay, they have their faults and their failings. And how other people's faults and failings are far more manifest than our own, aren't they? Far more clearly seen than our own. But how the Lord speaks in these very things. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And it's good when the Lord sees fit at times to bring us into a path of affliction, or a path of separation, where we have to come away, where we have to meditate, come away when all the help of man is vain, then to have recourse to God, to pour a prayer in time of need. This is to have a friend indeed. and how the church goes on to speak with regard to the friend. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. A friend who loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity, my beloved. The psalmist ever joined with him in that 116th psalm, I love the Lord because he hath heard my prayer and my supplication. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And only as long as you live, only while that life is realized and felt within your heart. And by these things, said Jeremiah, men live. By these things is the life of your spirit, isn't it? These things which the Lord brings you into, these perplexing things, these cares, these sorrows. Oh, and how they make you pray, don't they? How they bring you to the Lord. And there's none else can help. And you don't want anyone else to help, do you? If the Lord's going to help, if he's going to be your helper. He is my refuge, said one, in every deep distress. My beloved. Do you love the Lord? I believe I can say I do. There are times when words cannot express. You know, where there is that true natural love, words cannot express it, can they? Actions can't express it. And so what can we say about this spiritual love? This love to the Lord. When we come to consider what we deserve, our just deserves, and how the Lord, in mercy, has watched over us and kept us. Doesn't matter what we've done, what shall separate us from the love of God? Why, those very things which would separate men, they draw the child of God to his God, and his God to him. Why, the very things which man would have nothing to do with us, how he would cast us off, but those very things the Lord uses to unite. And then there's that love which is brought about as we rise up and we come away. And where do we go to when we come away? When we come away from our cares, if we come away from something, we must be going somewhere. Well, where do we go? We go to our beloved. And so there is that by faith we go to a better country. We go, as it were, to things which are unseen. We go to that God who is unseen, who, as Moses trusted in, who was invisible to the eyes of men, but not invisible to the eyes of God's people. How clearly they can see him. And when he speaks, how clearly they can hear his voice and see the reason for these very things which the Lord brings into their pathway. There's a need to be for it all. It doesn't matter what our case may be. Satan may often come and accuse us. But how this God, according to his own word, all things, good, bad, pleasing, sorrowful, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And his purpose is to speak to them in this life, to speak to them of their sin, so that that woman was so convinced, she said, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so you see, there will be that where the Lord will come and speak, show us our sin. And then, like the mad Gadarene, there'll be that desire within our heart, as the Lord spoke to him, He said, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. But he desired to be with the Lord Jesus, didn't he? He felt a love to him and wanted to be with him. Wonderful place to be brought, to feel the love of God so much within your soul that you want to be with him. Paul knew what it was on one occasion to depart with Christ, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Far better than the greatest blessings that we've ever had upon this earth. Indeed it is a wonderful blessing to know of this beloved. And not just to speak of him as your beloved, but to know it. For him to speak to you. You might not be able, you might feel like Samuel of old. You see, Samuel, Eli said, when you hear the voice, when he speaks, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. But Samuel couldn't say that. But perhaps you can come with one who said, when e'er to call the Saviour mine, with ardent wish my heart aspires. For can it be less than love divine that animates these strong desires? My beloved spake. You don't have to be in the house of God. You don't have to be reading his word. The Lord can speak. In the workbench, in the field, in the home, the Lord speaks to his people, and he speaks in such a way they know it's the voice, and they know whose voice it is. But how good it is when we come to the house of the Lord and the Lord speaks through his servant. There are many times we've heard it said, you know, well, of course he was good. You were helped. But what a mercy it is when the word comes home to your soul. And we know the Lord has spoken to you. I believe I can say, on one or two occasions when the Lord has spoken to me through his servants. Has the Lord ever spoken once to you through the ministry of the word? Has the Lord ever spoken once to you as you've read the word, as the word has condemned you? Sometimes you see it's a word of condemnation. Sometimes it's a word of comfort. It's a good thing when the Lord speaks by way of condemnation, whereby it drives us to him and seeks, causes us to seek for repentance and pardon. You'll often be going to the Lord as the Lord speaks to you and asking him. You won't say just formally, forgive us our sins, forgive us our trespasses. Indeed not. There'll be that longing desire within your heart that the Lord will forgive you. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Whatever others may think, and whatever you may think, you're fair in my eyes. No spot, no blemish. How can poor, puny, sinful man be fair in the eyes of God? Why, through the merits of her beloved, the Lord Jesus. 'Tis he instead of me, you see, when I approach to God. That's the fairness. That's the beauty. That is the love. And then to hear that voice speaking to us in that great day as we come to the end of life's journey. Rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. The battle is over. Come away to that place where there is no more sin. Come away to that place where there will be no more need of repentance. come away to that place where we no more need of faith. Come away from all that's evil to all that's good. Oh, what a vast difference. How can one describe that change? We should be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But who can describe that change? Come away. And as one takes that last breath and enters into eternal bliss, my beloved spake. Oh, how good it is, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And then, as one enters that glorious state, he'll meet with others, and they'll say, and how did you get here? My beloved spake, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. It was all through my beloved. And then to look upon this lamb, this glorious sacrifice. I'm not going to ask you about your religion or your profession, how long you've been a member of a church, but is he your beloved? Have you ever felt your heart go out to the Lord in love? Have you ever been able to embrace him and embrace his word as being true and faithful? And have you by faith been enabled to embrace the gospel, believing that there's room for such as you? Have you really felt that warmth within your heart toward the Lord? That's all that's necessary. To hear your beloved speak and to speak to him. You know, there's all various beliefs, all various denominations, and I believe the Lord has his people throughout all the earth, various kindred, tribes, tongues, but they all hear him speak and they all respond when he speaks, and all these other things are only secondary. Unless the Lord speaks to us, unless he's our beloved, well, all the rest is of no value, is it? But if he speaks and he's our beloved, well then, everything else then will fall in its right place. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. To think that the Lord should even call us fair, let alone my love. That is he your love? Well, might one say on such love, my soul still ponders. Love so great, so rich, so free. Say whilst lost in holy wonder, why such love, O Lord, to me? Ever sung that from a full heart, as your beloved has spoken to you? Wonderful thing to have a God, a living God, a God who cares, a God who is concerned about his people, a God who will love them, whom having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And that will be your favoured lot. That will be my favoured lot, if we've ever known the love of God within our hearts. We must leave it. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.